Hello there, Mike Vardy here. Before we get started with this episode, the Forge Your Future Challenge is back this August 7th to 9th. It's free, it's focused, and it's your chance to reclaim your relationship with time. Sign up now at mikevardy.com/forgeyourfuture. And now, let's get on with the show.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hoffman, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. I'm Mike Vardy. You might think that someone who builds systems for a living would be all about rigidity, structure, and control, but my guest today, Carrie Hoffman, is here to show us otherwise. Carrie is a project management and operations consultant working with entrepreneurs, small business, tech startups, and enterprise companies. She provides independent project management for mergers and acquisitions, company rebrands, website rebuilds, and any short-term project that would benefit from a lead project manager. In addition, Carrie is an Asana consultant, partner ambassador, and expert, working with teams to revamp their project infrastructure, implementing new systems, and training teams on their new upgraded processes. As you can see through this conversation today, Carrie brings a refreshing human lens to the world of planning. She has worked with individuals and teams alike to not just do more, but to do what matters and with intention. In our conversation, we talk about the liberation that comes from giving your tasks a home, the surprising power of writing down the mundane, and even what it means to reflect without losing the moment. She also shares a brilliant take on why ASAP isn't always as clear as it sounds, and what to do about it. So whether you're navigating a new phase of life with more time on your hands, or just tired of letting things slip through the cracks, this is an episode you'll want to give your full attention to. Now, without further ado, here's my conversation, and a productive one at that, with Carrie Hoffman. Carrie, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today to have a productive conversation.
I'm excited. Let's do it.
So before we hit record, I was talking to you about some of the people that I come across in the work that I do, and it's not like I've just started coming across them. I mean, in the 15 years I've been doing this, there is this underpinning of overwhelm that a lot of people come to me for when they're struggling with, you know, hey, this is my struggle. I've got so much to do. I have so much going on. There's so many things going on in my life. But more recently, they're niching down into this idea of, I am now getting ready to leave the workforce. There's some of my audience that's like that. And, or they're getting into a new arena, like they're running their own business where they have more agency over their time. And so because they've come from a place where they've had their time pretty much commandeered, like 9 to 5, or they're told to be, they're resistant to planning, right? They're resistant to that sort of thing. And based on your skill set, so very Carrie, yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts initially, and then we'll kind of get into the deeper aspects of this conversation on the people that struggle with, hey, I never had control or agency over my time, and now I do, and I'm going to do what I want, and I don't want to have a plan, and I'm just going to kind of float through and be more ad hoc. So what would you say to someone if they came to you with something like that? And how would you address it with the work that you do?
When I hear that people do have more time, they're ready to, so often those people are looking to do a variety of different things, right? And that's where they're coming from. They're saying, I don't want to go somewhere at 9, stay there till 5. I want to bake it. Variety is the spice of life. But then where do I even begin? There's always so much that's coming kind of at us, right? And it's not like back in the day where maybe on your desk, you would have that little box called inbox, right? And you put everything in there. And then when you were ready with something, you put it in the outbox and it went out. And so when I work with people, usually what I'm trying to figure out is, you have a lot that's coming in. You're trying to figure out where to put everything, how to structure your life. but you don't actually know where it should go because you haven't created a home for everything. You know, I tell people, when you put clothes away in your closet or anything away in your closet, I don't know how organized your closet is, but you probably have a general sense of where you want certain things to go. I put shoes roughly over here, put bags roughly over here. It's about building a system for our lives where we have the same closet structure that as items come in, we can try to find a place to slot them. But a right. lot of people have a system for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a form of chaos too, to a degree, right? Like there's this idea Absolutely. Of, it's so funny because I think about the term chaos and I can't help but go to my, like I'm a big comic book nerd. I'm a big movie nerd. And there's this line from one of my favorite heroes, Vision, who says, humans are odd. They think order and chaos are two different things. So when it comes to like the idea of dealing with chaos and staying organized, it is something that they struggle with. So what are some maybe more unconventional methods that people that you use and maybe that you share with others that maybe personally and professionally that can help keep things in a sense of order?
My biggest tip personally and professionally is, you know, people are looking for this silver bullet. You know, do you have a notebook that has everything? What is the absolute perfect tool that does everything? And the answer is there isn't one tool that does everything.
Right.
And so really what you need to do is you need to give purpose to the varieties of ways in which you manage your time and your work. And so, for example, I use a calendar only for things that happen at a set time. I personally can't manage reminders at the top, time blocks of things I'm never going to do during that time. So I say that calendars are good for appointments, right? Mm-hmm. Versus spreadsheets, which I might use to track things like packing lists and travel notes, right? That are more kind of long-term. And then I use a project management tool when I need to capture something that I might have to do today, but something that I might have to do 6 months from now. A lot of people are set up to manage the immediate.
Right.
And a lot of people are not set up when someone says, oh, you know, my 40th birthday is going to be in June and I'm thinking about planning a trip and you might have to get that person a gift. And you're thinking, June, is that months from now? You don't have a place to put that information. And so maybe it's less conventional, but I use Asana. That's my tool. And when I think of something that I have to do 6 months from now, I go into my tool, I tab over 6 months, and I pop it in there. And what a joy it is when I open up a date randomly and it says, flip my mom's mattress, because I go to her house every now and then, and every 6 months we have to flip her mattress, and I have a task. And when I cross it off, it recurs for 6 months. But I have a place for that information,
yeah.
And I don't have to recall it at any time because I have a spot for it.
You know, it's funny because I find that there's resistance to even doing that. Like those mundane, I've shared this before, but I have in Todoist for personal use. I use ClickUp for professional use as of this recording. And I have in there, not put up holiday lights, but decide when to put up holiday lights. And then that will precede, then I may add the other action in there and there might be other areas. But a lot of people are like, well, why would you do that? Like, you know, you have to put up the lights. And to me, the freeing up of bandwidth is really, really important. But there is this friction because you have to build the habit of knowing that putting that in there is going to ensure or at least increase the likelihood that it's going to get done. What do you say to someone who comes back at you with that kind of pushback on, well, wait a minute, flipping the mattress, I'll just do it the next time I make the bed, like that's fine, or this or that. Like they don't get that mundane stuff in there, or maybe the innocuous stuff. And then maybe a follow-up to that is, do you have a line where it's like, okay, this maybe doesn't need to go in there? Like you maybe you'll use a reminders app instead or something like that? Because Asana is pretty robust.
So in my personal life, fortunately, I'm on a lower version of Asana versus professional. Although since I work for myself, my Asana is now both personal and professional.
Right.
You know, I try to stress with people that, you know, imagine you don't write down what you need from the grocery store. You're not going to order online. You're going to physically, you're going to go to the grocery store. and you play that song in your head where you've memorized the six items and you know that there are six.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know it was milk, eggs, bread, peanut butter, chocolate chips. And what is the sixth? You just can never remember. And I try to stress with people, sure, you might think the holidays are here and I will know that it's coming. But every week leading up to the holiday, even when you think, you know, like Thanksgiving in the US is a day that changes, it does come up. You're like, oh, that must be coming up soon. I bet it's going to come up soon. And the reality is that when it would come up naturally versus in a tool is going to be on the actual holiday.
Yeah, it'll be too late. Right? Like you'll drive down the street and go, oh my God, holiday lights are up. Okay, I got to do that. But then you literally forget about it as soon as you drive by.
Yes. And so I think that building the habit that almost everything should go in, even if it seems mundane, is what will make it a stickier experience for you, because you will, you know, someone told me a gift they wanted for their birthday and I did not put that in the tool. I 100% forgot about it. It never crossed my mind until a month after that person's birthday. And she's like, oh, what about that thing I asked you for? And I said, wow, I'm in such a place where if it's not in my Asana list for the day, you know, it doesn't get done. And I will say I am a David Allen fan for sure.
I was going to say the appointments thing in the calendar, like that tipped that off for me.
Yeah. And I do believe that if you can do it in 2 minutes or less, that's when I would resist. Because even to just take your phone and type it out, if it was, you know, get scarf out of closet for winter, just go do that. And that way you are saving the time. And so those things don't make the list. But if I'm not going to do it immediately, it has to go in the tool so I can just move on.
It's Mike, and I want to invite you to something powerful. It's the Forge Your Future Challenge, and it's happening August 7th through 9th. This free 3-day experience has been reinvented, regrounded, and reignited to help you move forward with intention. Across 3 days, just 2 hours per day, you'll gain clarity, focus, and the tools to reshape your relationship with time. So join me from August 7th to 9th by signing up right now at mikevardy.com/forgeyourfuture. That's mikevardy.com/forgeyourfuture. Let's forge your future together.
To me, it's again, the decide to put up holiday lights versus putting it up are two completely distinct different things. However, if I decide on the day, like because I use daily themes, typically that will fall on a Saturday where I get that message that goes, hey, decide when to put up the lights. If that Saturday is appropriate, then that might be the day I do it. But typically, to your point, is I will have that go off in my to-do list after the day after here in Canada, Remembrance Day, but for you, it'd be Veterans Day, because I don't want, and see, this is another thing too. I don't want holiday lights to go up when we're still in that period of between Halloween and Veterans Day or Memorial Day, because that's not, those holidays matter, right? Like the veteran, like Remembrance Day or Veterans Day seems to get the short end of the stick in the holiday pantheon, because you've also got Thanksgiving in the US too, right? So to me, like when you can put it in the system, however your approach is or the app or whatever, the tool is, if you look at it from that vantage point, to me, it allows you to kind of be carefully considerate of that time to go, okay, well, this makes the most sense. But I think initially, the habit you have to build is the capture everything kind of mentality, as like it's basically the messy first draft, and then you refine it after that, right?
Right. And you know, I know that I know that so many people hear over and over again, you know, you have to take a task and break it down into like a series of smaller tasks. And people, you know, they hear that and they say, great, I'm still not going to do any of those tasks.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is when you don't do that, especially in a work context, if you are using a tool and you put something on for Friday, because it is due at the end of the week, and then you look at it on Friday, you know, prep QBR deck for client, you're like, oh my gosh,
yep,
I have not started this work. You know, that's where it is really key in your tool. The week before, is that when you're supposed to collect the data? And so often I've worked with companies where I used to work at a company where we did 2 check-ins per quarter. And usually we had to start collecting data 2 weeks out. We had to show the deck to our manager a week out. We did a rehearsal. And it was every time these meetings came up, everybody was surprised. We have to do this again? And I said, we know the dates of when we need to do all of these tasks for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the midpoint is, we know the endpoint is, and we know the prep time. You know, the number of times that people even just think, like, oh, when should I schedule my dentist appointment? Like, that should just be an automated, if you want to go, you have a task for 1 month out to schedule it in a month, and it happens every 6 months.
Yep.
Like, until you die.
Yeah, you do. Well, that's just it. Because when it comes to managing your relationship with time, you're on this, there is no final destination, because you're on this journey until you don't have any time left, right? And that's, it is so interesting to me that when I come across this with folks, and even when I have conversations, like, you and I are very like-minded in this, where to me, it's common sense. Like, it's not, and yet there are people, when I talk to them about this, like, oh, it sounds so rigid. Like, what, there's so much rigidity. What is your thought on that? Because I've had people push that back towards me, and I have given it thought. I've not been, it's not like, I don't think they're coming from a place of judgment necessarily. So I get curious about it. Like, am I being too rigid? So do you have those feelings when you're looking at this going, okay, you know, maybe I've gone too far? Because when you live in this space, you could.
I say that more planned time unlocks more unplanned time.
Mm.
And so when people say, oh, do you really want everything to be so planned out? You know, every minute is accounted for. I say that I'm doing what I can to plan out the time I can control, so that way I can wake up on a Sunday and go to a fitness class and get a facial and daydream and do whatever I want, because I've freed up time, because I'm not reinventing the wheel,
right?
I'm not starting over every single time. And so, I mean, it's the same, even if you were to, for example, use any sort of project management tool, right? Usually a key feature is building out automations.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend the time up front, and you have to do the logic and figure out if this and this and this. And then once you build out the automation, the tool is doing the work, freeing you up to actually create, right? Or to, like, go home at the end of the day, mm-hmm. right? Because it's building that in. And so I like to show people that the goal is to get more free time and not waste time.
So the rigidity, if I'm hearing you correctly, or at least kind of inferring, is built in the fact that people are thinking about this as something that you're doing consistently as opposed to the front end work. So the friction, to me, feels like it's the front end work, because people, it's the same thing that I hear when people go, well, I don't see the point in journaling. I'm like, well, you won't until you do it for an extended period of time. And then you see patterns, and there's a reflection period, and reflection precedes and follows every action. And the easiest way to do that, again, going back to the David Allen idea of the weekly review, the problem with the weekly review for a lot of people is that it takes a lot of time to do, and they don't really see any benefit from it, because they're like, well, I've got so many other things to do. Why am I reflecting back on what I did? Like, I'll just keep trudging forward. But we know that, like, the military have after action reports and all that stuff, right? Like, and so when it comes to the front end work, I'm curious, because you've got to break this pattern of people thinking, oh, I don't have time to do that. Well, if you do it now, then it'll free up all that time later. What's something that you do with clients and people that you work with that helps them have that aha moment that kind of allows them to say, okay, you know what? You're right. The front end work is definitely worth it in the long run.
I work with teams, but also a lot with individuals. And the place that we always start is I say, take half an hour, maybe an hour if you can spare it, grab your favorite, either if it's a doc online or a notebook, and do a brain dump of everything you think you have to do in the next 3 to 6 months.
Right.
Spare nothing. If it is the dentist, if it is get a promotion, if it is buy new running shoes, just get it all out on paper. And it sounds scary because then you think that's going to be a lot of pieces of paper potentially, and it's just going to scare me in what I have to do. But if you spend the time to see it, the best benefit you get, even if you do nothing else, is you've taken it out of your brain and you've thought about it.
You made the invisible visible.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, it kept creeping up and now I can see it on paper. Mm-hmm. And if you have another 15 minutes after that, start to, the same way you would if you were doing like a fun puzzle, start to pair together like items, right? Maybe these are all related to getting a promotion. Maybe these are all related to wellness. And I tell people, these are your programs, right? And your programs are really just your priorities. And then if you do nothing else but have this list, now when, as we know, everything's coming in, you can look at your list and say, wait, does this ladder up to anything on this like big, messy piece of paper I wrote of programs? And if it doesn't, you can reject it and say, look, I put together this list. I'm focused on finances and getting a new home and getting a promotion and running a marathon. And so, no, I'm not interested in learning how to kayak this year with you because that's not going to fit into this list. It's very similar to, like, we all have time to probably look in our closet and move some things around to make it a little bit more organized. But if you want it to be like the coolest closet ever, you are going to have to take everything out and see it, right?
Yeah.
And like Marie Kondo would do, put everything into categories and put it back. And then you have to find the time to do that. And that is hard to do. And if you can't do that, if you feel like you can't find the time, spend a little time on mini retros here and there. I've actually been doing this with travel. I've started traveling and working remote more. And at the end of each trip, I just write down a few key takeaways, things I've learned about myself, things I've learned about travel, so I can start to slowly improve on that process without maybe like overhauling how I travel, right? I'm like, oh, usually takes 25 minutes now when you wait in line for an airport lounge. Bake that into the time that you leave for the airport. Great. And I add it to a long list of trip notes that I review before I go. And even that small change has made a big difference for me.
Are you looking for a more thoughtful, sustainable approach to getting things done? The Productivity Diet is my latest book, and it's your invitation to stop chasing more and start focusing on what truly matters. No gimmicks, no grind, just practical, principle-based strategies to help you align your time with your values, which allows you to cultivate a strong relationship with time. That's something you can manage. You can also manage to grab your copy today at mikevardy.com/lit. That way you can get it from Amazon, any other bookstore that you're looking to get it from, or also directly from me, at least the ebook version. So again, mikevardy.com/lit to pick up your copy of The Productivity Diet, because productivity isn't about doing more. It's about doing right.
We live in a world that asks us, especially in quote, let's use the rat race, or in a typical work environment, to do inhumane amounts of things in a very short period of time. And there's a lack of humaneness when it comes to this. And it's largely, we'll touch on AI here in a minute, because I think that that is one of the things that can be either a panacea or at least aid. But you know, when we talk about humans and the human aspect of this, there's got to be, and I know you've touched on this, this idea of balancing the human side. Because as we're talking about this, I would imagine, it wouldn't surprise me at all if someone says, so you're really just spending time processing as opposed to living, or processing as opposed to being, which is, I can see where that could come from. I mean, again, especially if you've not done this. So how do you balance the human side with the need for those results, especially when you're working in that kind of environment that requires, like, you know, again, client work, high pressure situations? Like, how do you balance that human side?
I think it's so important to reflect, and I am very big on like retro everything and anything. However, I am very firm that that should not happen until everything is done, because that's where it does get a little bit like a rat race and what are we doing? And I told a friend once, oh, I like to take notes when I'm on vacation so I can remember things for next time. And throughout the vacation, she started saying, oh, write this down. Next time we should bring more aluminum foil for when we're cooking. And I'm like, we're not having fun right now.
Yeah.
And the point is, if it was really a problem or something we want to improve on, we'll remember that at the end, because maybe it's not actually as big of an issue. And if it comes up at the end, then we will reflect on it. But let's wait for that piece. It's not that different from when I start reading a book I really like. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, do you like it? Do you recommend it? Like, I'm not finished with it yet. I am enjoying it right now, but I would like to read the entire thing, and then I will let you know. Because at some point, you could constantly be thinking about what's next, but let the experience ride. Like, you will forget stuff. And if you forget stuff, then it was worth forgetting. So it's fine. Move on. If it's that critical, it'll come up again. You're like, oh, right, we didn't capture this aluminum foil to deliverable from last time.
Right. But don't you feel you have to do the fundamental stuff first before you can get to that kind of insight, right? Because I think what happens is people will put the cart before the horse. They're like, well, I don't need to worry about this. But then they don't have the fundamentals down to be able to afford to do that, to discern what's worth forgetting and what's not worth forgetting.
I tell people that, you know, what happens a lot is we think that every situation is going to be a little bit different. So we're like, why even bother, right? Like, the next project is going to be about a totally different topic. And what are we even going to take from this and bring into the next one? And so when I bring groups together to retro, I kind of just try to frame it as, here's an opportunity to celebrate some wins and to vent about what was kind of annoying. And if all that people get out of it, because I usually tell leaders this, is sometimes people just want to complain after something, and that feels so good. Even if they don't remember what was bad, they feel like they went through that process of saying, this was kind of challenging, mm-hmm. and getting it out. And so I don't even, you know, a lot of people use a lot of fancy tools for retros, and I'm not against them. But I always start with like, hey, what was good? What wasn't so good? What could we maybe do next time? Like, really, really simple, right? We're not here to solve problems we don't yet have. We're just here to take a moment and be like, oh, that was really great. Let's try to do that again. And that was not so great. Maybe we won't do that again. Mm-hmm. And then if you can start to add that to a playbook and a running list, great. You can just kind of constantly improve on it, right? You don't have to act on it immediately.
Before I let you go, because I want to be conscientious of time, I want to talk about some of the buzzwords that we've heard. I mean, obviously, we talked about David Allen and the idea of inboxes, and then we get to Merlin Mann's Inbox Zero, which has since been corrupted and co-opted, or co-opted and then corrupted into what it never was intended to be. And there's lots of terms that have lost their real true meaning along the way. And I'm going to share in the show notes an article that you did for LinkedIn about defining ASAP, defining what ASAP means. And it's so interesting to me when you hear terms, because we live in a world that really wants to have definitive answers. Like, there is, like, nuance is where quality lives, but it's where certainty can go to die, right? And so if someone says ASAP or as soon as possible to you or whatever, and they're normally throwing in an ASAP, so again, you might hopefully assume, it would mean as soon as possible, but maybe not. Maybe it's like as soon as practical or as soon as, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We'll link to it, but what led you to having to write a piece like this based on the term ASAP? Because have we even gotten to the point where ASAP needs to be, there needs to be some couching and some nuanced approaches to that term? To me, I found that absolutely fascinating.
When I hear from a team I'm working with, oh, we need this ASAP. We really need this copy ASAP. This project needs to be done ASAP. My, you know, if I'm in Asana or Monday or ClickUp or whichever tool I'm using with the client, you know, when I open the task, I'm like, well, this is not a date that I can track. And as someone who is very date oriented, even if there's something I want for myself ASAP, I'm still thinking, but if I'm going to put this in my Asana project, I would need to put a date around it. And so it's easy to say that we need everything like now would be great, or as soon as you can get to it, right? Kind of forgetting that people work on more than maybe what you're just asking for, right? They have other priorities. And so I started to think about when someone asks for something as soon as possible, like how are they thinking about it? Do they mean tomorrow? And who is in charge of defining what is possible? And that's the part that, like, I don't have the answer to that. And that's where teams have to decide. But, you know, I love when teams get together and they say, we could produce this amazing video by Friday if we hire extra resources, have more budget, work until 9. Or we can produce it by next Friday and we can work regular hours and maybe we won't go over budget. And then who's kind of the decider of how you want to make it possible, right? And I think that that's something that I want to see more teams do in the project charter process of how are we defining possibility, right? And I think more people are getting better about like setting boundaries, right? And so that's where we need to boundary set, right? Like, how do we think of what's possible?
Right. Last question. And for those that will visit your website, which we'll share at the end, they'll know why I ask this. What's your favorite non-alcoholic beer and what's your favorite non-alcoholic cocktail?
My favorite non-alcoholic beer right now is Al's. I really like their beers. I do also love Athletic Brewing, but Al's is starting to appear more, you know, on different menus, but I will try almost anything.
Will you try Tom Holland's Biro now that it's coming into North America?
Sure. I'll do it.
He's been on the promotional tour talking about it. So B-E-R-O. Okay. They are not sponsoring this episode, but if they wanted to, Tom, you know, you can always call. But the non-alcoholic cocktail?
So I like, it just came in, I ordered some yesterday. It came last night. I was so excited. There's a brand, it's called Spiritless, and it's a Kentucky, it says Kentucky whiskey. I think it has a cinnamon flavor. It's very like wintry tasting. And I actually will just drink that at home on ice. And I just think it has a strong flavor versus some spirits that are like very expensive and taste like water. So there's a lot to explore out there. The non-alcoholic wines are also starting to get a lot better. And by better, I mean less juice.
Like, yeah, you actually, I mean, it's kind of like what happened with beer, where it's like you had O'Doul's and that was about it, right, for the longest time. And now you can get like really close to like even with IPAs and stuff. Wine has always been and spirits was next. And it makes sense because spirits are made with different botanicals and stuff like that. But wine has always been the toughest nut for them to crack. And I think you're right. I think they are getting better at it, but it's the toughest one for sure.
Yeah. And I really recommend even if you're someone who drinks alcohol, there's always that time between 5 and 6 p.m. where I'm like, oh, I shouldn't really have dinner yet, but I'm trying to wind down from work a little bit. And that's when I'm like, oh, a non-alcoholic beer is this like really nice transition moment. Another transition moment is that in my home, we've set up Alexa to dim the lights at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. as well, automatically, right? And so you're like, oh, the lights are dim. It's time for a non-alcoholic beer and to maybe start focusing on that unplanned time.
Carrie, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me today. Where can people keep up with you and the work that you're doing?
You can find me on my website at soverycarrie.co. I'm also soverycarrie on Instagram. I'm soverycarrie on Peloton, if you like to bike. I'm soverycarrie everywhere, or on LinkedIn, where that's usually where most of the action is, at Carrie Ann Hoffman.
Thanks for having a productive conversation with me today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Big thanks to Carrie for joining me for this conversation. You can find all of the relevant links, show notes, the talking points, all of that stuff at mikevardy.com/podcast604 or wherever you are listening to this podcast right now, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you're listening to this, you can just check out the links directly from there. The other thing you can do is also rate, review, subscribe to the show. Just do that wherever you get your podcasts. That way you won't miss a single episode of what's to come and can easily search through the archives for whatever you want, you know, any past guests, anything like that. Also, rating and reviewing the show helps me make the show better. That's it for this episode of A Productive Conversation. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.
Before you go, if you like what you heard today, there's more where that came from. So join me for the Forge Your Future Challenge, running August 7th to 9th. It's free, it's focused, and it will help you reclaim your relationship with time on terms that both you and time can deal with. Head to mikevardy.com/forgeyourfuture and get started today.